You know, when you start a lawsuit, getting those first papers served, that should be straightforward, right? Upload the docs, give the address, done.
It really should. But anyone who's dealt with a difficult case knows it can grind everything to a halt. Suddenly you're drowning in information, but the case is stuck.
Exactly. Because the person you need to serve just disappears. Or, well, pretends to. They won't answer the door, they're behind a gate.
Yeah, the standard process just fails, especially when someone is actively trying not to be served. That's the critical bottleneck. We think we know where they are, but getting that verified proof of service, that's another story.
And you see this a lot in places like Metairie, New Orleans, maybe denser areas where people know how to use security or, you know, just blend in.
Absolutely. They might be using buzzers, layered security in apartment buildings. It makes simple attempts pretty much useless. You're dealing with someone who's playing defense, using evasion as a tactic.
So this is where a regular process server doing a few drive-bys just isn't going to cut it anymore.
Right. You've moved past needing a courier. You need someone thinking like an investigator, focused entirely on that one crucial moment, the serve.
Okay, so that's our mission today. We're doing a deep dive into what sounds like the gold standard for these situations,
Yeah.
the process server stakeout service.
Yeah, looking at how the pros handle it, especially when dealing with evasive folks, it's a whole different level.
We're going to get into the nitty-gritty, the digital investigation, the surveillance, even body cam proof, how you turn this frustrating hurdle into, well, a successful mission.
It really is a mission sometimes.
Let's unpack this stakeout idea first.
Yeah.
I think most people picture, you know, cops in a car with coffee, like in the movies. How is a legal process server stakeout different from just trying again a few times?
It's fundamentally different. Standard attempts are often like three or four tries, maybe morning, noon, evening. Kind of guessing. A stakeout is planned. It's strategic surveillance.
Sam Howell.
It involves a dedicated block of time. Usually the recommendation is maybe 2 to 4 hours based on some initial intel, focused solely on monitoring that specific location. It's not just random docs.
That sounds, well, more intensive and probably more expensive than just those standard attempts. How do you justify that cost to a client who's already frustrated?
Well, think about the cost of delay. Every failed attempt costs something, sure, but the real cost is the case going nowhere. Time is money in litigation, right?
True, the clock is always ticking.
Exactly. So a stakeout is deployed specifically because the standard methods have already failed. It's usually needed in one of, say, four key scenarios where normal service just won't work.
Okay, what are those scenarios? When do you absolutely need to shift to surveillance?
Well, first, the most obvious one. The defendant, who you know is home, lights are on, car's there, but they just flat out refuse to answer the door. Evasion is their strategy.
Right, they're hiding in plain sight.
Precisely. Second, you've got physical barriers. Think high security apartments, gated communities common around New Orleans, places where the server literally can't get to the person, even if they wanted the papers.
The building itself is the shield.
Yeah. Third scenario is the erratic schedule. The person works nights, travels constantly, has no predictable pattern. Standard 9 to 5 attempts. Useless. You need dedicated eyes on time.
Makes sense. Catching them coming or going is the only way.
And fourth, it's often essential for high-profile individuals. You need discretion. One attempt, done right, professionally, no fuss, no media attention. Get in, get it done, get out.
That covers a lot of ground. Now, just to be crystal clear, because we're talking surveillance, watching people, how does this work legally, especially in Louisiana?
That's paramount. It has to be legal. The sources emphasize this heavily. Any stakeout service must be done by or directly supervised by a court-appointed process server.
Okay, so there's official oversight.
Absolutely. And every single step has to follow Louisiana state laws, the rules of civil procedure, everything by the book. No shortcuts.
Right. Okay, so this is where it gets really interesting then. Moving from just procedure to actual strategy. This gold standard process you mentioned, it's not just parking a car, is it? It's a whole plan.
Exactly. It's multi-step. And crucially, it starts long before anyone gets near the target's address. It begins with data. Physical surveillance without good intel first. That's often a waste of time and money.
So step one is what they call digital investigation or skip tracing. Sounds kind of like spy stuff, but what does that actually mean today in this legal world?
It's basically forensic prep work. It's way beyond just Googling someone or calling old phone numbers. Professionals use licensed non-public databases. Think systems like TLO or accurate.
Non-public, what kind of info are we talking about?
Things you and I can't just look up. Utility records, maybe professional licenses, vehicle registrations, known associates, sometimes even credit header information. It's linking data points that aren't publicly available. That's the key differentiator.
Wow. So it builds a much deeper picture. You mentioned building a pattern of life. Mm-hmm. How does knowing someone's patterns help actually serve them papers?
Well, the goal isn't just to confirm, yep, they live here. The goal is to find the vulnerability. When are they likely to be home and accessible?
Ah, okay.
The pattern might show they drive a specific car, so you know what to watch for. Or maybe they always leave for the gym at 6:30 a.m. on Tuesdays. Or a relative visits every Sunday.
So it helps pinpoint that ideal 2 to 4 hour window for the stakeout.
Exactly. It maximizes the chance of success during that surveillance block. You're not guessing anymore. You're acting on intelligence.
Okay, so the digital homework is done. You've got the likely time, maybe the vehicle. Mm-hmm. It takes us to step two, the physical surveillance itself.
Right. This is the part that looks more like the movies, but it's done with a lot more discipline. The server goes to the confirmed spot at that optimal time from the skip trace.
And just waits.
Waits, watches very discreetly. Always from public property, that's crucial. They're looking for the target to arrive, leave, maybe come out to walk the dog, whatever. They need to blend in, especially in tight-knit neighborhoods in Metairie or parts of New Orleans, drawing attention. That kills the whole thing.
Makes sense. And then hopefully comes step three, the successful serve. This could be tricky, right? You're approaching someone who actively doesn't want to see you.
It can be. That's why the servers need training. As soon as they get positive ID on the subject, they have to approach immediately. No hesitation.
And what if the person argues or gets hostile or just refuses to take the papers?
They're trained for that. Calmness is key. Handle resistance, even hostility, professionally. The main thing is to meet the legal requirements for tender of service. Even if the person throws the papers down or refuses to touch them, if the server does their part correctly, the service can still be valid.
Okay, so the serve happens, maybe even traumatically. Which leads right into step four, the proof. Because you just know this evasive person is going to tell the judge, nope, never got served, wasn't me.
That's almost guaranteed. So proof is absolutely critical. It comes in a couple of layers. First, the client gets an immediate heads up right after the serve. Then comes the formal, notarized affidavit of service, the official court document.
Standard stuff. But you mentioned something else.
Yes, the real game changer. The option for body camera video evidence of the entire interaction.
Ah, body cam footage. How does that change things if the defendant does contest the service in court?
It pretty much ends the argument. It's indisputable proof. You've got video showing the time, the place, the person being identified, the papers being tendered.
So it shuts down claims of mistaken identity or improper service.
Largely, yes. It provides a visual record of exactly what happened. It severely limits the defendant's ability to use that kind of procedural delay tactic. It's powerful evidence for the plaintiff.
That sounds incredibly effective. Now, circling back to the surveillance part, tracking movements, figuring out schedules, where's the legal line between this kind of professional stakeout and, you know, legal stalking or harassment?
That's a vital distinction. And the professionals are very clear. It's 100% legal in Louisiana because they stick rigidly to the rules.
Which are?
Rule one, operate only from public property. No trespassing. Rule two, strict adherence to all state privacy and anti-stalking laws. No illegal tracking devices, no breaking into gated areas without permission. It all has to be observable from public space.
Keeping it clean.
Essential. And on that note, while we're talking details, it's really important for listeners to remember that this is for understanding the process. It's general information. If you actually get served with papers, please don't rely on this. Talk to a qualified attorney right away about your specific situation.
Absolutely. Good disclaimer. Okay, legality covered. Let's talk results. We're dealing with the toughest cases here. How successful is this intensive stakeout method, really?
Well, the experienced providers, especially those who've been doing this for, say, 20 years in Louisiana, they cite it as the most effective method for people actively dodging service. That combination of digital intel and focused surveillance just works far better than random attempts. The success rate is significantly higher.
But what about the worst case? You do the skip tracing, the server sits there for 4 hours, follows the intel, and the person just doesn't show up. Is that just money down the drain a failure.
That's a key point the sources make. No, it's never considered a failure. Even if the papers don't get handed over in that window, the stakeout always yields valuable intelligence.
Intelligence?
Yeah.
Like what? How does not serving someone help?
Okay, say the server is watching the house. The target's specific car isn't there the whole time. Or the lights are off, newspapers piled up. Maybe a neighbor mentions, oh, they moved out last month.
Ah, okay. So you learned something concrete.
Exactly. You've now got verified information. Maybe you verified the car is there, confirming they likely are inside avoiding service. Or, crucially, you might gather proof they don't live there anymore.
And how is proving they don't live there useful?
Because a negative confirmation is exactly what the plaintiff's attorney needs. They can take that information, the server's report, the observations, and file a motion for substituted service with the court.
Asking the judge for permission to serve them differently. Like, maybe posting the notice on the door, or serving a relative, or even publishing it.
Precisely. Instead of spending months making futile attempts at a bad address, the stakeout provides the proof needed to move to the next legal step. It breaks the logjam. It saves huge amounts of time and money in the long run.
So the intelligence itself justifies the effort, even without the immediate serve. It moves the case forward strategically.
That's the key. It shifts the process from just trying to serve to gathering the intel needed for the next move in court.
Okay, so wrapping this up, what's the big takeaway here? Serving someone who's determined to avoid it, especially in complex places like Metairie or New Orleans, it's not just about delivering papers anymore.
Not at all. It's become this specialized mission. It requires that strategic investigation up front, using those powerful databases, analyzing patterns.
Followed by discreet professional surveillance and backed up by solid proof, maybe even video.
Right. It takes what used to be a simple step and turns it into a focused operation. And that operation ensures the defendant can't just stall the legal process indefinitely by hiding.
It really does put the ball back in the plaintiff's court, so to speak. Which leads to a final thought for you, our listener, to consider. Given that valuable intelligence comes even from an unsuccessful serve attempt during a stakeout, how does that very act of professional legal surveillance fundamentally shift control? How does it take power away from the evasive defendant and push the case back towards the court, ensuring that eventually justice can't be sidestepped? That shift in control might be the real hidden value here.